This is Twit.
Hello, Patrick. Hello, Ryan. I have actually, I'm not going to horn in on your show, but Patrick, you're going to be on the new Screensavers this week.
True.
And I have a modest proposal for you, and I want to run it by. I want to run
it
by you.
I'm not eating any babies, Leo. Let's get that out there right now.
I do have to say that this is by the way, the new 2018 MacBook Pro. And I've never been a fan of that keyboard. I hate the touch bar, too. I think a lot of people know that. I do feel like this keyboard is subtly different. And it's, you know, I think the silicone seal, which is clearly there, also has the benefit of kind of giving you a little bit more resilience when you tap. I just feel like there's such a short travel on these keys that it stubs your fingers almost. And it's hard for me to type accurately on this. I had a MacBook. I had the 13-inch. I've tried them all. This one seems marginally better. But really, the reason I'm here is to ask you about the i9. And I think you all saw Dave Lee, YouTuber Dave Lee's review of the i9-based MacBook Pro, in which he said it was throttling. The i9 wasn't running at full speed because of heat. He used a couple of ways to demonstrate this. One was to recompile a Premiere project, and he showed how much slower was it as it got hotter. He put it in the freezer, and it performed much better. So there's the freezer video. The bottom bar is in the freezer. The top bar is not in the freezer. You can see shorter is better, the much better performance in the freezer. And I know this has been a problem. I've seen this others complain about this in the i7 for years, even on those wonderful Lenovo ThinkPads. There are i9, I think Dell has an i9 DEXPS 15. There's some other ones. I don't know if they're experiencing throttling. But I thought we should test this on Saturday. Now, I'm waiting. I want to see what PC Perspective and Non-Tech, people who really know what they're doing. Not Dave's good, but I want to see some real laboratory results before I say that this is an issue. Dave said, and he's got a good point, there's no obvious redesign of the cooling subsystem in here.
Right.
Even though you've got now six cores on the i9 running at 2.9 gigahertz and up. So there's a lot. But what somebody pointed out, and I think this is an interesting point, and I think, Ryan, you've already tipped to this, is that when you're doing that Premiere Pro rendering, it's using the CPU and the GPU, both are pegged, which, of course, is going to be the hottest possible scenario in this thing, right?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things I'm going to try. One is, one of the reasons I wanted this is for compiling software. That's very bursty. You know, if it compiles in 20 seconds, it's probably not going to see much throttling, and it may be a real benefit. But the other thing I want to try, this is the eGPU, which, interestingly, Apple announced at the same time. They don't make this. It's Blackmagic makes this. It has a somewhat, it's not a top of the line. It's not a 1080 Ti Radeon, NVIDIA in here. It's still a Radeon. What is it, a 580, I think it is?
580, yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's an eGPU. And Apple recently updated Mac OS to automatically support it. I noticed when I plugged it in over the Thunderbolt, the 40-gigabyte Thunderbolt 3 port, it immediately saw it on the MacBook Pro and started using it. In fact, believe it or not, I've just been doing updates, and the MacBook Pro is hot, and the eGPU is perceptibly warmer. But my theory is, and I think we can maybe test this. It's not a laboratory, but we can kind of get some sense of it. What if it is the fact that both the GPU and the CPU were pegged, causing a huge amount of thermals in here? What if you use the eGPU? What if this is why Apple's pushing the eGPU to take some of that load off? So we're not going to do it with Premiere Pro. We're going to do it with Final Cut, because presumably that's going to be optimized for Apple hardware.
That's a brazen assumption.
Well, but I think it's fair to say that. And certainly, you know, I don't know what Adobe's incentive is to optimize for Apple hardware. I haven't seen them optimize Photoshop or Lightroom for Apple hardware. So let's give Apple the benefit of the doubt and use Final Cut Pro 10. I think most people who buy this, is a $4,000 laptop, are going to probably use Final Cut anyway, right? So what do you think of that? That's my modest proposal, that maybe it's a GP and an eGPU might solve that if that's what you need to do.
It solves it as long as you're at home.
Well, I admit it's not a portable solution.
You could take
anymore.
Your $6,000.
Yeah. This thing's heavy. It's really a docking station. It has all these extra ports on the back, plus a GPU. And it's not, by the way, at $700, it's not upgradable. So that's not good. But
It's good for Black Magic.
Yeah. And it's exclusive to Apple, so it's good for Apple, too, because they take their cut at the Apple store. So together now, we're getting $5,000. This is $5,000 worth of hardware. First of all, I guess my two questions. Are we seeing i9? I know we've seen this in the past with i7. i9 heat throttling in other machines?
There's not that many machines that run i9s.
Yeah, there's the Dell XPS 15 is the only one I know of.
And most of the time, they're also in larger... more gaming-centric.
You look at
machines,
those gaming things; they got giant tornado fans in the back.
Yeah.
Well, that's because I think
look how thin this is, and the only vent is in the crack. between the screen and the body. I mean, this thing is not designed for heat dissipation. Even if it's a unibody aluminum, but that's not.
I look at his results very simplistically and pragmatically. Right.
Right.
He rendered a video. Which is something that a ton of people who buy MacBook Pros are going to do. Regardless of what software they're using, video rendering is a terrific benchmark and use case for this. And it's kind of it's impossible to me that Apple didn't do this testing with their device and come to the same conclusion immediately that, as it turns out, it's slower than the other variant. Yeah, because it is a long extended workload. You use the term bursty to talk about some other workloads. Compiling can be, but if you have a larger compiling job, if you're encoding Blender, for example, it's going to take a while.
The guy who wrote Geekbench didn't have an i9, but he did with the i7. He did 10 compiles of Geekbench and did not see throttling. So that was a half an hour of nonstop compiling.
Notebookcheck.net posted something today where they did successive runs of Cinebench, which is a GPU rendering. No, I'm sorry. It's a CPU rendering app. And so it does not use the GPU. It's only using the CPU. And it had dramatic fall off after the first couple
of runs. I'm a little nervous about synthetic benchmarks. I would prefer to see things like the Premiere Pro.
So we were talking before the show. I had a friend of mine who bought the maxed out Surface Book. It's like $3,300, an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 925 or 965 GPU, which is not that powerful, but certainly a big step up from the Intel graphics, 16 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte SSD. And he's like, it's a dog. What do you mean it's a dog? You spent $3,300. He's like, it's a delete expletive dog. And I did something really simple. I just ran my favorite way to torture laptops, which is Handbrake and desktops, right? Handbrake, a friend of mine who works for a company that can spend anything they want on any rendering tool anywhere basically uses Handbrake. It's good enough for them. It's good enough for me. And, I fired up this $3,300 machine, which had a top of the line like Core i7 CPU. It's got NVIDIA GeForce, blah, 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 blah. And it also basically has no fan. And it, within literally probably the first 30 seconds of a 10-minute render, what should have been a 10-minute render, it throttled up and then it just slowed down.
Yeah.
And it was brutal because, like at this point, generation previous Core i5 with half as much RAM was running faster than a brand new state of the art $3,300 flagship machine from one of the largest tech companies in the world. It's not just Apple doing this. Let's do thin. Let's do inadequate cooling. Let's do maybe cooling that's okay. Well, we can dissipate 45 watts, for this long.
And it's.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say this is a trade-off. This is a decision that manufacturers are making, as you're pointing out, right? That the number of people that do long sustained work on their machine, rendering a video, compiling code, whatever it happens to be, is small, and it's also a small portion of your time.
Yeah, but
and
if not it's for not the a people who buy these devices. That's exactly who buys these devices.
Well, yeah, but I would.
That's who they're aiming at. This is a pro device.
I was working at a place a few years ago where they bought brand new laptops for the executive team, while the editing team was still using 2-year-old desktops. And I bring this up because in a lot of cases, there's a lot of people spending a lot of money on hardware, and they run Excel spreadsheets.
and they use the web, and they use Google Docs, and they use, you know,
okay, but Slack Apple, or whatever. Apple but has a product line. They have a MacBook, which is an executive computer. This Apple is aiming at pros. And so regardless of what morons buy it, if what we want to know is if the people who are going to buy it for those purposes, the purposes Apple's specifying, photographers, sure. developers, sure. music makers, and filmmakers, if this is inadequate, then we need to know this. I would generally give Apple the benefit of the doubt on this. You know, one thing we don't know, Dave Lee's computer, maybe he got a sample that didn't have the thermal paste, wasn't done right.
It's possible. Sure.
There's all sorts of possibilities. I want to see this same result across the board with a lot of different computers before I'm going to rush to judgment. And I know we'll do an imperfect test, but I think we ought to do something like this on Saturday. On the
Absolutely.
I think that's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. And I think basically just duplicate what he's done and then add in this part where you add in the external GPU and see if it – what I think will happen, if I'm going to guess here, is that it will cut the difference between the two platforms, but it won't kill it completely.
Yeah.
And what I was going to say before is the professionals are buying these to do those renderings, but you're not rendering 8 hours a day. You might be editing working in Premiere, but that final output cut render takes 35 minutes of your day type of thing.
So does it still make sense then to buy it for the other stuff you're doing?
No.
So that's really the question. Should I buy an i9? Should I buy an i7? Maybe I should just buy an i5. Because if I'm not going to get the full performance out of the i9 or the i7, there's no point in spending more for it.
Well, it's a real problem, right? Because you want the discrete graphics, because that's going to accelerate a broad range of things that are going, not everything, because Adobe's code base continues to be weird.
Intel's hasn't updated their Iris Pro in how many years? 2 years?
Well, but it's going to be at least 2 years before there's anything from Intel you're going to slap in the general direction of Premiere or the Creative Suite and make much of a difference. The issue is that, like, Ryan's right. Yeah, you may only spend 35 minutes a day rendering, you know, but if you're doing a whole bunch of processing work, it is a big deal. If you think you're going to go, like, last time I bought a new laptop and spent $6,000, I cut 20% off my rendering time. What if your rendering time goes up because this thing is so thermally throttled?
Would be really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really feel ripped off.
You know, I would agree.
It should never have gone up. Like, if it, worst case scenario for me should have been like, oh, this turned out to have the same render time as the last generation quad core, right? That means you've properly balanced the thermals with the clock speed tables that you have in place for this particular design, right? The fact that it goes down is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there are other use cases for 6 cores. That do make sense. Most of the most of the things we do, except for these high-end professional tools, are only using one core anyway. The higher clock speed of the i9 might be a benefit there. But there are other things you do. Maybe if I have, you know, I'm doing 3 different things at once and each is using a separate core. I usually use something, and I did this on the iMac Pro, and I will compare this, by the way, to the 10-core iMac Pro as well. I use something called iStat Pro, which is widely used among Mac people to give you a look at thermals and CPU performance. And so we'll put that on here as well so we can kind of see it. Yeah. I guess Intel has a tool as well. I might put Geek Bitch on here. I don't really like synthetic benchmarks all that much. I don't know. What do you think?
I understand that. I understand that mentality. But synthetic benchmarks I mentioned Cinebench before. Cinebench is a benchmark, but Cinebench...
It's actually like doing stuff.
That Cinema 4D is a well-known and used rendering engine, right? So the Cinebench part of it just lets us do it in a repeatable, you know, more scientific fashion.
Right. You know, ironically, this laptop plus GPU is roughly the same cost as the base model iMac Pro. I think I seriously think that Apple is looking at this new MacBook Pro as a reasonable mobile version of an iMac Pro. It doesn't have 10 or 32 cores, but it's. I think you're right, Patrick. If you have to carry this around, you've defeated the entire purpose of it. This is a lot.
Yeah, I mean it's frustrating because you know a lot of people Apple stopped
doing really good support for Final Cut a few years ago. And then Adobe, I mean, Adobe, and this is going back a few years, that there is one application that I know of in the history of Adobe, and some of their applications are pretty long in the tooth at this point. There is one application where they went, you know what? It's a teardown. And they started over fresh. And that was Premiere, because the original version of Premiere was such a hot mess. They could not they couldn't put a bag on the side of the box. They couldn't fix it in any way. And they re-architected it from the ground up. And they started talking to, you know, they basically went to people other than auteurs and college film students and said, how do you use Final, you know, well, how do you use Final Cut? And what do you wish Final Cut had? And then Premiere built out all of these tools for professionals. And around that time, Apple's hardware started getting more expensive again. They dropped all of their back-end support, you know, for the networking stuff, for the enterprise stuff. And a lot of people just went, eh, whatever. And they basically, Premiere's pretty good, and they shifted over to Premiere. And when Apple does something like this, where it's like, you know, we know you've been waiting for a decent CPU upgrade for 2 years. Here it is. And it arrives. And the first thing that happens is somebody goes to render a video. And if you're on, you know, if you're a pretty frantic kind of, you don't want to, and think about that. You know, you've bought like you've spent several thousand dollars on a laptop. You fire up Premiere or what, a Final Cut Pro or whatever you're using. You hit that button. You're like, yeah, this is where my hair blows back. And you know, because I had that experience. I cut my render time by 2/3 in two processors in the space of about 18 months. And I love AMD Ryzens. They make me happy. But to spend that much money on a hardware upgrade that people have waited so long for, and then to have it be like, we should have put more cooling in, really sucks, even if it is only for a small percentage of the user base. That's ugly. That is ugly thermals right there.
Yeah.
That is some ugly, ugly heat mapping.
Well, again, right this there. Is all based on one YouTuber who is credible, but mm-hmm. not more than one. And so... you know, and even what we do here will not be, you know, definitive. I want to see what you do at PC Perspective. I want to see what an architect does. I'd like to see some people who are used to, who are really doing this kind of thing, and get some idea of the throttles. I won't the throttling. I won't interrupt your show any longer. I have some work to do to get this set up. Have a great show. But so you think this is a reasonable? I gather you think this is a reasonable test that we'll do on Saturday. I'm going to go get some.
Yeah, no.
And we're going to do it not on Premiere, although we are, as you know, a Premiere house. This show is edited with Premiere. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do it with Final Cut, presuming that giving Apple every opportunity, that's going to be best optimized for the Apple hardware, and we'll see.
It's very kind of you to do so, but it's okay to run your applications in a real-world scenario, because think about it. If you don't like synthetic applications or synthetic benchmarks, why in the world would you give Apple the benefit of the doubt by going to Final Cut Pro?
Well, because I think most people who use this hardware are using Final Cut Pro. It's $200. Yeah. It's not a subscription. There's a lot of reasons why you might want to use Final Cut Pro.
Okay.
And if you're buying Apple hardware, I would bet you're probably using it. I mean, we use it, Premiere on Dells. We weren't going to buy that 2013 Mac Pro, and it turned out that was the right decision.
It was a very good decision.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Apple did admit that the reason they can't upgrade that thing is thermals.
Yep. I don't know. There's 45-watt TPUs, and there's 45-watt TPUs, and then there's 45-watt TPUs with a discrete GPU, and all hell
breaks
loose.
Hey, Patrick, do you have one of those temperature guns we can use?
You know, I literally own three of them.
Would you bring it on Saturday?
I will put it in my bag.
I've just been doing the updates, and this thing is hotter than hell. Right here, it is burning up. I almost can't touch it, and I haven't done anything but download files. So
that's not a good
sign. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign.
I mean, that shot from Dave Lee's video where there was the big smiley face with the giant glowy spot in the middle and the smiley face, that's basically the processor and whatever venting they have in there. And that's probably a little hotter than it should be.
Yeah. Is that a real cat or is that just something you pop in and try that?
This is a real cat.
Okay. Because it looks a little like the Brad Sam's pop in. I'm just saying.
I really wish somebody quick grab a picture of the cat.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks. See you on Saturday.
See you Saturday, Patrick. It'll be a lot of fun.
Definitely.
All right. Take care.